using influencers to market your local business. How do you do it? Neil Schaefer joins me on this episode and we talk all about it. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Local Business Podcast. I am your host, Bruce Irving, here with you for another episode. This is a good one. Neil Schaefer, my friend from social media marketing world, is joining me on the podcast today, and we're talking all about influencer marketing. What is it? How do you vet influencers? How do you pay if you have to pay influencers? And how do you use them to market your local business? All on today's podcast episode for you. If you have a question or you have a topic you'd love us to cover here on the podcast, reach out to me. You can go over to thebruceirving.com. That's where we keep all the show notes for this episode as well. If you have a question or concern or a topic or anything, go check out thebruceirving.com for all the show notes for this episode. It's a good one, so let's just get right into it. All right, hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. I'm really excited for my guest today, Neil Schaefer, who's author of the book, The Age of Influence. It's the definite guide to influencer marketing. We both spoke at Social Media Marketing World. I heard really great things about his session, so I wanted to have him come on and share how you can, you know, use influencers to grow your local business. He also has a podcast, but first, let me welcome him. Neil, thank you for joining me on the podcast.
Hey, thank you so much, Bruce, for those kind words. And I heard you rocked it as well. So the king of local marketing, it's really an honor to be here.
You know, well, you also have a podcast, Neil. Why don't you talk about anybody who wants to, because you're listening to this one, you obviously love podcasts. If they wanted to go subscribe to yours, where can they find it?
Yeah, sure. So my podcast is called the Maximize Your Social Influence Podcast. It's really going to cover a lot of the things that we're talking about today, really looking at how to grow your business through innovative marketing techniques, leveraging this concept of digital influence. And if you're still thinking that influencers are just like Kardashians and they're completely irrelevant to your business, we're going to give a complete reset to your mindset today. And if you dig that, hopefully you'll check out my podcast later.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. Go subscribe to that one. I wanted to talk influencer marketing because I think it's something that local businesses can use. But I think, like you just stated, a lot of local businesses think of influencers as these huge accounts or these really famous people that they would have no shot of getting their attention. But I've heard you on your podcast, I've heard you on other podcasts describe what an actual influencer is. So can you just describe what an actual influencer is in 2020?
Sure. So influencers are social media users, right? And they have somewhat of a community that they've built. Sometimes they built it around niches or things that interest them or things that they talk a lot about. But they are a bigger and bigger number of people that exist. You know, back in the early days, people thought, at least in the influencer marketing industry, that you needed to have 1 million followers to be considered an influencer, or 500,000 followers. That number, and this is coming from the industry where there's a lot of money, there's billions of dollars being spent on Instagram influencers alone. This number is now down to about 1,000, which we call a nano influencer. So if the influencer marketing industry that, you know, spawned all these celebrities that we know about is now working with people at the 1,000 follower level, you begin to see that there's just a lot more people that we would consider influencers. And you know, on the flip side, if you have like a Facebook page and you post something and it's crickets, right? And if you get, you know, 10, 20 engagements, you're really happy. Think about people with 1,000 followers. They're not getting 1,000 engagements, but they're getting maybe 50, maybe 100. And maybe they're, you know, they're really genuine, authentic engagements. And this is something, I mean, there's so many, you know, levels we can talk about here. But to begin with, that is how I define an influencer today. And from a business perspective, I'm not talking about people we don't know. I'm talking about first looking at our customers, our partners, our resellers, our distributors, our customers, even going as far out as looking at our followers, or maybe we go into our Instagram and look at people who have tagged our store, and that's a mention, right? That they've actually physically been to our store. I'm talking about all these people that then we can start to create an army. Well, let's call it a mini army to begin with, but let's call it a group of people that we can now start to tap into for a variety of collaborations. And guess what? These collaborations don't necessarily mean you have to spend money, but that's really the heart of what I talk about and how to formulate a program or a group of people. There's obviously a lot of details that we'll go through, Bruce, but that's really the start of it. So, you know, anybody can be an influencer. Anybody who walks into your store might have 1,000 followers on any given social network, right? And that's why customer experience becomes so important. That's why having an Instagrammable experience, I know during COVID-19, it's very hard to do, but it becomes even more and more important because you want to take advantage of you know, your, if you have a physical location, you want to take advantage of that. And anybody walking through that door, you want to make sure that you put your best foot forward so that if that person is somewhat influential or has some influence, that it'll begin this whole chain of them talking about your company, your store, your restaurant in social media, and hopefully the beginnings of this sort of collaborative long-term relationship that I think will pay benefits. So we're not talking about spending $1 million on someone to post a random Instagram photo. and in fact, I would argue that for local marketing, this becomes even more important because you're really trying to tap into a community of people that live around you. So social media, as you know, is global, and you don't want people that are irrelevant. You know, you may find people that were on vacation. Maybe you're based in Orange County, California, where I am, and there's someone on vacation from Montana that comes that might be somewhat of an influencer. Although there's ways to collaborate with them, they're not really part of the local community that you want to come in on a weekly or monthly basis. So that's the problem with social media. But if you create a program in this way and you really fine tune it and you find those people that live nearby that are also somewhat influential, you now have a winning combination to the beginning of something great.
Yeah. Do you find that a lot of people think of influencers and they correlate influencers to just Instagram?
Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, there's just a lot of, I would say, misinformation out there about influencers, because whenever something goes bad, we had, you know, the Fry Festival, right, you know, the Dublin hotels, you know, this Dublin hotel is no longer going to allow influencers to stay there because so many of them ask for free nights. You hear the bad stuff in the media, and you don't hear the good stuff, right? You don't hear how at the bottom of it, at the heart of it, you know, local businesses, you know, most businesses are built on word of mouth marketing. Right. That is the core of how businesses grow, I believe. I'm still a big believer, even in today's digital age. And a lot of that word of mouth happens digitally now. So, you know, that word of mouth means you start with your customers, and those people become very, very influential. So when we look at, you know, even before social media, things like referral marketing, I think we've always had the concept of influence, right? When I train insurance salespeople on social media, they're talking about centers of influence, people in their community, like bankers, financial advisors, accountants, that if they collaborate with, they can be the source of leads. When I did B2B sales back in the 90s, I'm aging myself here, there were influential ecosystem partners. There were the semiconductor vendors, the system integrators that I could get leads for my embedded software for. So the concept of influence has always been out there. Some people are more influential than others in our industry, in our community. It's now tying that together with digital media and seeing which of those people have a digital footprint. And you're going to find people that aren't influential in your community but have a really good digital footprint. You're going to find influencers in your community that have a zero digital footprint, right? But it's really bringing this concept together with this new type of digital influence and learning how to leverage it for your business. Sorry to cut you off there, Bruce.
No, it's fine. I think you answered my question there. So you're saying, like, influencer marketing doesn't even really have to mean all digital. It could mean anybody who has a voice that other people listen to, whether that be online or offline.
Yeah, I think, you know, the way I covered, obviously, I work with businesses on digital and social media marketing. So I only look at the digital footprint of it, but obviously it relates to offline as well. I would try to bring those offline people into the online world, or at least into your own content, but absolutely.
Yeah, there's not a lot of those people anymore.
Yeah, they're definitely on the decline, especially the younger the generation goes.
Yeah, my kids don't even know a world where there's anything offline. Everything's online nowadays.
Yes, indeed.
You know, a lot of local businesses too, I think, make the mistake of they chase those vanity numbers versus looking at, like you said, who is actually engaging with those posts or those influencers in quotation marks there. They kind of look at, when they go to start their search for influencers that they would want to have come into their business. Let me give you an example. So I'm in the pizza world. Yep. We have another podcast, Smart Pizza Marketing. We have this company called Barstool Sports. Are you familiar with them?
I am not. Sounds like a great name, though.
So Barstool Sports is this company that talks about sports, and they're a really large company. The founder of Barstool Sports is named Dave Portnoy. Okay. He does these pizza reviews. So if you go to Barstool Pizza Reviews on Instagram, they have like, you know, a million followers on Instagram, and he goes into a new pizzeria every month and talks about the pizza. Now, he is influential, but I think a lot of pizzeria owners focus on him because he can move the needle so much. But the likelihood of him actually coming into your pizzeria is very small. Versus trying to, what you're trying to say is try to find those people who are in your area that are smaller, who may not have a huge following, but are very influential to your local market.
Yeah, and what we're finding, Bruce, in the influencer marketing industry is that the larger the following, so that example is what we would call like a macro influencer, right? Or even, you know, borderline celebrity. Celebrity usually means like the Kardashians, Charlie on TikTok. These are people that are on TV. So if they're not, they're no longer social media influencers. They're like traditional celebrities.
Right.
But if we go to that example, that's a great example. The bigger the following, the broader your audience and the broader the interests are. And on average, the less percentage of engagement you get versus smaller influencers who, number one, probably never bought fake followers.
Right.
And I'm not going to say that that person bought fake followers, but there's a lot of Instagram profiles I go through. It's like, how did you get to get so many followers with only 12 posts? But anyway, I digress. And I'm sure you see it as well.
100%.
They're not part of what we call engagement pods, right, which we know are pretty rampant on Instagram. And they probably have not bought, or they're not buying fake engagement either. And because they're smaller, they have a deeper connection with their community. They're usually more niche on topic. And therefore, you know, if you were to work with 5 or 10 of these, the amount of engagement you get might add up to working with someone much bigger. But the quality of that engagement is much higher, especially in the context of local marketing, where that person may say that once a month, they may come to your restaurant, but their audience is national. When you want an audience that's more niche and local. So that's really a great example of why more and more brands. In fact, I just published a blog post today. It was research from the social media tool Social Bakers. But with COVID-19, there's an even bigger shift of, even on Instagram, of influencer marketing spend going to these nano, if not micro influencers, versus working with those big celebrities. And there's a hell of a lot more of them out there, right? That's the other thing. So you should not have a problem finding some people to begin to collaborate with.
Now, if you wanted to start working with these micro influencers who are local, do you have to pay them money, or how do you start that conversation?
Well, this is the interesting thing, Chris. This is another sort of misconception, right? Like chasing the vanity number. And it's funny, I was just going to put an analogy about chasing the vanity number, especially for the local business owners that are listening to this podcast. My brother is a successful entrepreneur, and he goes, Neil, I once spent, this is like in the 90s as well. He's like, Neil, I once spent a week researching what is the best copy machine that our office should have. And he says, small business owners waste a lot of time thinking about things that are completely irrelevant to their success of their business. And I still think we have that issue, right?
Yeah.
And even us might have that issue sometimes. This is the chasing the vanity number is another example of that. That I just want to throw it out there. It is completely meaningless. So with that in mind, so you know, how do we work with people? And this is another thing that I want you to think very, very differently with influencers about. If you were to talk to that pizza guy who has a million followers, would you reach out to him and say, hey, can you like, we just have this real, we came out with like the coronavirus pizza. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. You know, will you post this on your social media channel? That's probably not the first conversation you'd have with an influencer, right? If you found someone in your community that everyone follows, you're not going to say, man, we'd really appreciate it if you featured our local business on your Instagram feed. It's not going to work. You're not going to be successful. In fact, you might be blocked if you do that. And this is something that a lot of businesses do, is they treat people as if they're like programmable ad units, right? It's like, oh, we're going to do a Facebook ad. We're going to reach out to 10 different people. We're going to send them the same message and see who replies. That's not how it works. And I know that like business owners and us in marketing as well, we look for quick and easy fixes. But now we are in the world of people, and people rule social media. And these people also have invaluable influence in our community. So you need to develop a relationship. If you've ever done PR or media relations, I almost think that influencer marketing is closer to that, because it is a true one-to-one versus a one-to-many approach. And the reason being that every influencer is different. Every, you know, whether it's an Instagram handle or a LinkedIn profile or Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, TikTok, everybody's different. Everybody has different needs. And it has to begin by having a conversation in order to find out what those needs are. And you're not going to know until you actually start to build a relationship with them. And the great thing is with social media, it's not hard to build a relationship with them by following them, by engaging with their content, by liking their posts, by actually, you know, putting a very, very authentic comment. I can tell you, California Pizza Kitchen, when I put a photo of my sangria flight, which my wife and I love, when I put California Pizza Kitchen, actually liked and commented. Barnes & Noble Tustin actually commented on a picture I took of my book at their Barnes & Noble, right, on Instagram. But there aren't that many of all the local businesses that I've gone to and tagged. Only a handful of them have ever commented on that post saying thank you. That is just such an easy way. People remember these things, right? If you really want to get on an influencer's, view or you know, you want to get in their vision, it's not that hard to do with a few authentic, you know, comments, what have you. And that builds, you know, the path where, as we say, slide into the DM, where it's like, hey, we love your work. We're building a program of local influencers. We'd love to include you in it. Are you open for a phone call? Or, hey, would you like to, you know, with COVID-19 may not be as easy. Would you like to stop by our store? We can talk for a few minutes. And you know what? Maybe some of these people, they work with nonprofits and they love for you to sponsor their next nonprofit, you know, activity. Maybe some of them, want to get free pizza for life. I don't know. Maybe some of them want to get discounts for their friends or for their school. We don't know. And that's why it doesn't necessarily cost money. And normally these people are not going to say, well, if you pay me $100, because they're community influencers. They're not people that are in it for the money like you see with the Kardashian types, right?
Right.
And that's why I think as we go local and as we go nano, yes, you might need to give product, but I think the money is not as important. But the other thing I want to point out here, Bruce, is what is the issue that a lot of local businesses have with social media? They don't have any content. So instead of looking at influencers as just people that are going to amplify your content, look at them also as content creators. In fact, if you ever wanted to do a photo shoot or a video shoot, hire a local influencer, right? Don't work with not to say agencies don't have their value, and photographers, videographers don't have their value. But if you have this you have this target list of people and you notice that this person is an influencer who's also a photographer, which I think you're going to find in a lot of local communities on Instagram, why wouldn't you pay them money for your next photo shoot? Because you're going to use that to help build a relationship. So we see a lot of brands that are leveraging influencers purely as content creators, and they can use that content for their organic social media, for their paid social media. They can put it on their website. We know that this sort of content converts better than content that's developed by the company.
Yeah. If I was a local business and I was going to have some, and I know for a fact that a lot of local businesses make this mistake. If I was going to have somebody come in to try to take photos or some videos of my products and services, I would immediately go to their social media and make sure that their social media looks fantastic first, because there's a lot of photographers who maybe don't have a strong, and you don't necessarily have to have a strong social media presence, like a lot of followers, but your content should be made for social versus just taking really nice looking photos that maybe won't translate well on social media. What do you think about that?
Oh, exactly, Bruce. And you know, any quality photographer or videographer today probably has an Instagram channel, if not a YouTube channel. And I agree with you 100%. Influencers at the heart of things are content creators.
Yeah.
They're not just photographers and videographers, right? It could be audio, like what we're doing with the podcast. It could be written in a blog. And if you're in a B2B industry, you know, it's not about the Instagram photos. It's about maybe hiring people to write for your blog. But yes, they are masters at content. That is how they built their influence. Because with social media, you don't build influence just by saying, how was your weekend? You build it by obviously creating content and publishing content. And that is the key thing here, is really tapping into them as content creators, as one of the many ways in which you can collaborate with influencers.
What do you think some mistakes are that people make about working with influencers?
I think, you know, some of the big mistakes we already talked about, they choose the wrong influencers. That's one big mistake. They impose their own terms on the influencer without understanding the influencer's needs. So it's already off to a bad start, or they're not going to get to a start. So I think the most critical issues are there. The next mistake I think a lot of brands make is once they begin the relationship, they don't give the influencers creative freedom.
Yeah.
So, right. So you're working with an influencer because they're great at what they do. And yet you're saying, well, we want you to take a photo at this angle and you need to make sure that this is in the photo and the caption has to include this, this, and that. The more restrictions you put on influencers, the worse their content's going to do. And the whole idea is they perform well on social, their content. So you want to leverage that. You want to say, hey, here's our business. How could you depict us or portray us in a way that would get a lot of engagement from your community? They know that way better than you do. You don't know their community. They know their community. So why wouldn't you rely on their creativity and their content creation powers to do that for you, right? So it's still like marketers in business. They still want to control the message, but you can't. You never had control. It's what people talk about. You can try to influence, but you want to sort of give up that control to these influencers. Once you realize their influence, you'll want to let them, you know, drive the car for you and take your business to new levels.
Yeah, it's like hiring a professional to come into your house, like a professional plumber to come into your house to fix the toilet, and then he starts to fix the toilet, and you say, listen, get out of the way. Let me tell you how to do that. And you're like, why'd you call me for in the first place?
Or going to the doctor and saying, this is what I have. You know, self-diagnosis, right?
It's... Right. I looked it up online. This is how you're supposed to do that.
Exactly.
You don't want to do that. Let the influencer, like you said, you reached out to them for a reason because their content was good and you liked it and their followers enjoy it. Let them do their thing. You don't always have to post. Like when you work with an influencer, and we've done this in the past, you don't necessarily have to post what they've created. You can say, hey, listen, before you post it, let me see it and see if it aligns with what I want you to do, and then talk about it after that.
Yeah, you know, having a contract in place is totally legit, is a best practice. And saying, we just want to review it before you publish it, is that cool? That's totally acceptable to most people, right?
Yeah.
I'd rather you do it that way. And if you see, chances are you're not going to see anything that is going to threaten your business. But, you know, the other mistake, Bruce, that I just, you know, remembered is on the tail end of this is only having a one-time relationship. I can't tell you how many brands have reached out to me. You know, we're creating a new brand ambassador program and we work together once. And it's crickets after that. Never hear back from them. A brand ambassador is a long-term program. And really, what you're trying to do is convert community influencers into becoming brand ambassadors for you. And that only happens when there's a long-term relationship. And when there's a long-term relationship, you get to know them better. They get to know your business better. They get better at representing who you are. You get to learn a lot more about content creation and social media from them. And there gets to a point where they're going to talk about you without your asking them to do so. That's a true brand advocate, right? And you don't get there with one-time, short-term transactional relationships that are still at the heart of a lot of influencer marketing. But obviously the trend now, you know, what the things I'm talking about, the really forward-facing looking companies are starting to do. And really, you know, you could be first to market with this because the industry is moving a little bit slower than it should. So those are, you know, some of the mistakes I see, and really it comes down to relationships, right? It's relationship marketing. It's recognizing what these people bring to the table. It's finding a win-win relationship, and in influencer marketing, we call it a win-win-win, a win for their community as well by providing them discounts or, you know, whatever for their community or whatever it might be. And it's a long-term, it's a program that you tap into, right? Maybe you do like a monthly Zoom call to give them updates. I don't know, right? Or throughout the year, you have different campaigns. Maybe you activate, you know, a few of them for one campaign, but you make sure through any 90-day quarter that you're engaging at least with every single one of them through a different campaign. If you do monthly campaigns, it's something of that sort, but it's long-term and it's okay to bring in new people. And it's okay to say, you know what? We haven't seen you posting that often. Or when you post, it's really not getting good engagement. You know, you make contracts that are good for a year, let's say, and you can do A/B testing in the background and see how they perform. And you can say, we decided not to extend the contract for the second year and to bring on new people. That's, you know, hey, we had a change in our plans. Let's keep in touch. This is something that happens pretty often because it's going to be the 80-20 rule, Bruce. You're going to find that 20% of these influencers are going to generate 80% of the results. And those are the people that you want to do more and more with.
Yeah, that's a great point. We have a friend of the show, Frank, who owns a tiny pizzeria in the East Village of New York City. And he, we've talked to him before. He does influencer, well, before pre-COVID, he was doing influencer events at his pizzeria once a month. And he would have these influencers come in from New York City, and he would give them food, and they would take photos and share it on their Instagram and their stories. And he generated, you know, I think he has like almost 200,000 followers now from doing this over the past year and a half or 2 years, just doing influencer marketing. That's all he does.
Nice. Yeah. You know, it's a no-brainer, right? People think, well, I need to spend money on Facebook ads or what have you. And just getting influencers into your store, into your restaurant, and the possibility when that happens, why wouldn't you put on, you know, quote unquote free events? Yes, you're giving them free pizza. Yes, you're giving them free drinks, knowing that you're going to get a heck of a lot of word of mouth out of doing that.
Right.
It is an absolute no-brainer. I, in Orange County, some of my influencer friends, we put on a nonprofit, and we work with a local Hilton hotel. They just wanted to get people in their hotel, right? Local business people. And so they supplied everything for us, right? They supplied the food, they supplied the meeting room. We had other companies, you know, donate, you know, swag and what sort. It's a no-brainer, and it doesn't have to cost money as that case. Now, you want to pick those influencers, but maybe if you get this sort of local community influencer program going, then maybe that's it. You have a monthly sale just for those people, or a monthly event, and maybe you allow them to, you know, bring in a friend or two every time, so that they can treat their community. They can do a giveaway of their community. You know, we're giving away one free meal ticket to this exclusive influencer event. There's so many things you can do once you begin to include influencers as part of what you do in marketing. And that's the key thing here. It's not a one-time campaign thing. It's a long-term thing, and it should be part of your marketing mix.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier about kind of fake influencer or people buying followers or engagement. Is there any way for a local business to kind of vet these influencers to see if it's legitimate, their following and their engagement, or if they're just purchasing it from somewhere?
Yeah, you know, there's a growing number of tools out there that will do audits. I think, you know, one way to look at it is if, and assuming that you follow my advice and you begin to sort of engage with these influencers, if they're not following you back, or if they're not commenting on your comments, or even like liking that comment, you know, you're not getting any engagement from them. To me, that is sort of a red flag. That are they for real? Because real people would have acknowledged that, right?
Yeah.
And if they're not acknowledging you, they're probably not acknowledging their community, and therefore, how influential are they with their community, and is their community for real? So there are a few, you know, common sense things. Go on their profile. When was the last time they posted? Oh, they haven't posted in a year. Well, that to me is a red flag as well, right? And there's so many of these profiles out there, right? So yeah, you want to look at, take a look at the people that have engaged with their, don't look at the followers, look at the people that have actually engaged with their photos or videos or content, and see, you know, are these real people? Click into their profiles. Are they like random, you know, XX0035-1990? I don't know, right? Are they like random, or are they real people that are actually members of your community? So those are a few ways. If you use the tools, they'll look at like historical numbers. Like, did they have a spike in number of influence, in number of followers overnight? Like all of a sudden they grew by 1,000. Well, that's a red flag.
Right.
So those are getting better. But yeah, those are the things I'd recommend. You can also, once, the cool thing about, you know, something like Instagram is, once you begin to follow these community influencers and you begin to follow your fans and your customers, you'll see how many of them follow these people, right? Before, you know, when you see an Instagram profile, it'll say followed by which of your friends. And that's another really, really key indicator. If none of your friends are following them, it's like, whoa, and this person has 1 million followers and they live in my community, which only has 1,000 people, and none of these local influencers are following them. That's another big red flag.
Yeah, I would say, so there was one time I was following somebody who was pretty influential. Well, I thought was influential in our industry for social media. And then you scroll, there's two things that you can do. You kind of look at the comments that they're applying back to people who comment, and you can kind of tell if it's really their words or not. Sometimes it's like a 2 or 3 word response with an emoji here or there, and you're like, that's not how they talk. That's definitely not them. Or if you click on the people who have liked that post, sometimes you can go in there and see the profiles, like you said, of the people who have liked that post. And if you see like 90% of them are maybe following 100 people but have 0 followers or no profile picture, that's kind of a signal right there too that may not be legitimate.
Yeah, the no profile photo. Some of them will have like, I mean, the private profile, it can go either way. But another one is I really, when I find an influencer that just has a lot of engagement, I like to go back in their past posts and see if it's the same content and see if all of a sudden overnight they went from an average of like 50 likes to 500 likes. Yeah. And that's another. Now, if they got featured in like the Wall Street Journal or like, you know, in Cosmopolitan magazine, then I get it, right? But for most people, just if you have an Instagram account, you know how hard it is to grow it and to grow engagement. It doesn't happen overnight. So that's another thing that I would look for. These are, you know, I think once you begin to do it, this sort of like fake follower audit is something you can do on your own, just, you know, spending a minute or two. But here's the thing, this is going to require a little bit of time, but it's an investment, right? It's an investment in something that is only getting more popular. Our high school students, our junior high schools, our college students using social media less or more than previous generations. It's more, right?
Right.
So, and in fact, you know, you might think, well, in digital marketing, we say, you know, you need to be on search, you need to be email, you need to do social. These are the key ways that we can meet our customer, right? So the search is hard. It's something doable. The email is hard, but something doable. But the social, you know, with social media becoming pay to play, this is something that you really have less and less control of, and it's becoming more and more expensive from an advertising perspective. It's really the compelling area where you want to work with influencers, and they can actually help with everything else. They can help with your organic social. It can help your paid social. It can help with content that can help your SEO. They can help get people on your email list. So I believe they become, you know, the key ingredient that can help you in everything you do in marketing.
And just test it out, right? Like, you could test it out for, like you said, 6 months or a year. And if it works, great, keep doing it. If it doesn't, you don't have to do it anymore.
Do 90-day sprints, right? This is going to be a 90-day program. We want to see how it works. And if it goes well, we'd love to keep working with you. We don't know how much of a budget we're going to have. I mean, these are, you know, like I said, if you're reaching out to the right people, they're reasonable people. They get it, right?
Yeah.
You're a small local store. But, you know, I tell you, Bruce, that with COVID-19, there is this, you know, I'm a big fan of Nextdoor. Hopefully every local business is all over Nextdoor because there's tons of opportunities there. But, you know, someone last night said, hey, at the local yogurt land, there's rumors it might be closing, you know, and you may want to give it some love because COVID-19 has really hurt the number of people going there. And it really, you know, touches a chord. There's so many comments like, oh my God, so many great memories there. We're going to go there tonight. Or, you know, COVID-19 has brought out this respect and love and wanting, knowing that it's going to be hard for local businesses to maintain their operations, but really wanting to support them. So now, right, with COVID-19, it is a perfect time to begin to do this, to deepen these relationships or begin relationships with people in your community, because people have a lot more time on their hands. They're spending even more time in social. And if they are someone in your community, some of them might be unemployed now. If they are an influencer, maybe some of their influencer revenue is down now. It's really a great time to begin and deepen these. Don't be afraid. See it as an opportunity.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Neil, this was a great conversation. I'm going to forward people to your website, neilschaefer.com, and also your podcast, Maximizing Social Media Influence. Oh, Maximizing Social Influence Podcast with Neil Schaefer.
Maximize your social influence podcast. I'm getting it wrong too now.
I messed you all up. Maximize Your Social Influence Podcast. Where can they go say hello to you on social if they want to say hi?
Well, I am Neil Schaefer everywhere. That's the real Neil, N-E-A-L, and it's S-C-H-A-F-F-E-R. You can also check out the aforementioned book, The Age of Influence, which is available at Amazon or wherever fine books are sold. And stop by, say hi. If you have any questions, let me know.
We'll link all that up in the show notes for this episode as well. So if you are listening to this while you're at work or on the car, go over to our website. We'll link up Neil's book, his website, and his podcast for you to go check out when you're done listening. Neil, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast. It was awesome talking to you.
Hey, it was an honor, Bruce. Thanks for the invite.
All right, well, thank you to Neil Schaefer for joining me on the podcast. Go check out thebruceirving.com. We'll link up Neil's website. You can find his new book. You can find his podcast, everything over at thebruceirving.com. And as well, if you have a question or anything, you can reach me over there also. All right, thanks, guys. So appreciate you joining me on the podcast. If you haven't yet, if I could ask one favor, if you could leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Google Play or wherever you're listening to podcasts, Spotify, leave me a review, share the episode out, tag me on Instagram at thebruceirving. Let me know you're listening to the podcast and you're enjoying it. And let me know if there's anything that we could do for you to help you out in your local business. All right, guys, have a great week. We'll see you on the next one.